You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 42 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
On this special episode of the podcast, we remember September 11th, 1999. Never forget, 9-11-1999. 2 years before 9-11.
We're back. It's episode two of the second season of JRVP. This is the podcast where two lifelong friends see if joining a business partnership could somehow take down their friendship. And by seeing each other
each
week.
Corp.
I mean, that's always that's how every friendship ends, is by getting a business relationship going.
And of course, we're joined by the lovely Erica Tamposi, my producer at NFL.com, NFL Media, who's rising fast and using her clout from all her endeavors, including this one, to surpass it.
I've never heard you refer to her as lovely before. Didn't think it was possible, to be honest. And I'm surprised you're introducing her so quickly. But that's fine. That's fine. A lot of weird things going on today, like Greg introducing Erica as lovely immediately, as if they just started dating. Also, Greg just walked in here and was like, I want to talk about going to the Alec Baldwin roast this weekend. I've been on three roasts. It's like how I got famous.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you tell me before right now?
I did text you about it weeks ago that I was going to go, that Comedy Central invited me, and I'm sure you too, if you wanted to go get a ticket. And I mentioned it to you. I didn't follow up and say how it was or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you would just text and be like, oh, it was fun.
Yeah,
I never, they invite me every year, but I'm like, no, I used to do it. I'm not going to be the guy who went to high school, graduated, and comes back and hangs out. Like, I'm not going to be there with nothing to do. And they wanted me to go.
David was there, like, in the audience.
They always have celebrities. Like, they're fun to go to, and everyone gets so drunk. But I just, after having done them, they're like, do you want to come to the after party? No, I do not.
It was Saturday night, though. And, you know, I'm taking an Uber back with my wife. And then we're into football Sunday, first one of the year. And, you know, the next couple of days are all work, so... So, you know, it wasn't at the top of my list to let you know. But I appreciated, you know, Comedy Central gave me a nice table, like, right in the front. These are the spoils of my partnership.
I would have loved him in there.
I just don't like secrets, and I don't like you referring to Erica as lovely. they wanted me to do a thing where I'm at the roast, and who's the MC?
Sean Hayes.
They wanted Sean Hayes to be like, oh, look, we got celebrities here. Anthony Jeselnik is here. You got a new show called Good Talk. Mm. Why aren't you on the dais? And then I say something funny.
That would be good.
And I was like, no, I'm not going to go from like being on the dais to being a guy in the audience who likes to watch it. You know what I mean?
Like scream something out.
Yeah. Like, listen, I'll say it flat out. I'm one of the greatest roasters of all time. Definitely top five. There's no doubt I'm one of the top five roasters of all time. I'm not going to sit in the audience and watch it.
But you're letting some of the competition, like Nikki Glaser, who opened and was awesome. She killed. You're letting her, you know, stack up some appearances. The whole thing was great. I recommend. And we're Alec Baldwin fans. It was a lot of fun.
Nikki's a dear friend. I couldn't be more proud of her. I heard she had the set of the night, and I totally believe it. I think the first time she did the roast, I worked on our jokes with her. I'm not taking any credit. She just kind of like was like, "What do you think of these?" But I think she's always been great and just keeps getting better. So check out that Alec Baldwin roast whenever it airs. it was a good week for me. I had the premiere of my new show, Good Talk, with Anthony Jeselnik.
Ooh,
was
good
Friday
talk.
Night. I went to a very, very nice dinner with a couple of people to celebrate, and it was like we went to a restaurant, like a really nice restaurant that had like a wine pairing.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Where you get the menu and they give a pairing, and that's like the only way to contain the monster. You know, like if we get bottles of wine, just like let's go. But when you get like a half a glass of wine with each little course, then I'm like good to go.
Your alcoholism being the monster.
Yes, like I'm just like I'll just get too drunk if I'm just sitting there, and then I went back. Met a friend, had a bottle of champagne, watched the show, and enjoyed myself. And that leads me to a new announcement We are doing a podcast version of Good Talk with Anthony Jeselnik that is just the audio from the show. There's no extras. There's no – it's literally just the audio of the show. It's an interview show, so you don't miss a lot. There's some things missing, music things, clips we couldn't get the rights to use on a podcast, that kind of stuff. But it pretty much is the podcast. So if you didn't get to watch it or you watched it, you wanted to have it, it's going to be an automatically downloaded into your JRVP account every Friday, each week's previous episode, and it'll also be its own thing if you want to subscribe to it. So it's our gift to you. If you want to listen to it, great. If you don't, you're missing out. And if you like the podcast, you will love the TV show.
Yeah, watch the show.
I was very happy with how the show went.
What has it been like the second time around? This is your second show on Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm.
Jeselnik Offensive was started, what, 7 or 8 years ago?
2013, so six. Well, over six.
What's different, just like in terms of where you're at and your feeling as it's like going up the second time around? You're a different person now.
You know, that's a great question. It's almost like, you know, your first time on stage doing stand-up versus like you're 10 years in. You know, I'm much more calm about it. And it's a different situation. But the last show, Jeselnik Offensive, premiered after Tosh at like the height of Tosh.0. And it was on like a Wednesday night, 10:30. It was like a huge deal. Ratings meant something at the time. People were still watching TV, so there was a lot of pressure there. This was Friday night, 11 o'clock. I still don't know what the numbers are. They do like a +3 and then a +7. People DVR things. It's Friday night at 11. There's really no pressure. So I just get to enjoy having a TV show without the pressure of it. And since it's already done, I've just been doing press without having the pressure of doing the show and press at the same time, which leads me to a couple things I've got to correct from the press. They've been doing these, like, presses, it's changed where I do like one podcast and then they write 10 articles about the podcast and they misquote me or take it out of context.
Oh, no.
Where I've been reading things that Anthony Jeselnik calls Lorne Michaels disgusting. And blames him for getting Donald Trump elected. And I'm like, no, I did not. What I said was, someone asked about Jimmy Fallon ruffling Donald Trump's hair. And I was like, I think that was blown out of proportion, that Fallon took too much guff for that. That I think if you, like, I think what was worse was Lorne Michaels having Trump on and letting him pick the jokes and do what they wanted.
Of course.
And I said that. And then it turned into, and I thought it was disgusting that they let Trump choose the jokes. Like, let him come on the show, and like politicians do normally, but you got to play the game. And they played his game, which, you know, I don't need to talk trash on Lorne Michaels, but I was defending Fallon. And then the other one was why Anthony Jeselnik can get away with things that Dave Chappelle can't. They never mention in the article that I had not seen the special at the time of the interview. Like, I'm talking about Dave Chappelle and why people love him and why they get disappointed when he says awful things, but then I watched the special. And I don't understand what any of the outrage is about. Even the stuff about, like, not believing Michael Jackson's accusers, I thought there was, like, a twinkle in his eye when he did it. Like, if you read it, it sounds worse than when you see it. I thought this was the best of Dave Chappelle's Netflix specials. And so it annoyed me that it was, like, it seemed like I was coming out against him in some way. And I was absolutely not. I just had not seen the special, and they did not mention that.
I like that you can use the podcast now to kind of correct...
Yeah,
you know,
it's
the
great. I don't have to tweet. I can just wait until I come on here.
And if there are listeners of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project,
JRVP,
Junior Vice President,
that haven't seen Good Talk, I mean, you're going to love Good Talk. I feel like I loved it. It inspired me and Emeka, my wife, to watch you know, TV together, like, late at night for the first time that didn't include Top Chef, since we believe Mad Men. So that's like you're bringing people together. Top Chef is a little different.
My show's a lot like Mad Men. It's like Mad Men and Top Chef had a baby is how I would describe Good Talk.
And I feel like if you're a listener to this podcast, there's almost hidden little things in there that you'll notice. One thing I immediately caught up on that happens on this podcast is the way you say Netflix. really cracked me up.
Yeah. You're the only one that cracked up. I remember the executives would always be like, oh, doing it again.
I also enjoyed, I don't know if you want to avoid like spoilers. I don't think this is a spoiler, but this was just like a small moment that made me laugh as your friend, was when you had to really contain your laughter, it appears, or try to appear serious when you mentioned Jamie Lynn Sigler's multiple sclerosis.
That was that joke I had to fight for so hard. Every single person on
Greg
my staff
is literally like he's turning his face away from the microphone.
It was. I mean,
so
it's my favorite moment, maybe of the season. Actually, you know what? There's actually better stuff. When people were reminding me of things. We taped these so long ago. Every one who's interviewed me who's seen the episodes has a different favorite moment. But yeah, bringing up Jamie Lynn Sigler's.
Well, you said you had to put that joke
sclerosis.
In there. It's not a joke. It's a fact.
Yes, but they're like, why are you? It's a fact you didn't have to mention. So they were like, why is he bringing this up?
And you're trying to contain it. And I like rewound it with Emeka. And I was like, did you see that? And she it didn't really strike her fancy that much. But it really killed me.
Thank you. That was all me, and literally everyone from my showrunner Megan to my lowest writer was like, "Are you sure? Like, are you sure you want to?" This is it just seems needlessly cruel, but it's a fact, and you can get away with it.
Megan, it's a hit.
Everyone, I mean, when I said it, everyone knew that it was a home run. But thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed that part of it. Check it out. Go back and actually, the Nick Kroll episode is on ComedyCentral.com right now for free.
Ooh.
You can watch the whole thing. But I recommend you set your DVRs for 11 o'clock Friday nights and catch the next one. Kristen Shaw this Friday. There's
She's
a clip online right now.
I'm so
and she,
excited for
it's,
this.
We had so much fun. People watched the clip and were like, are you guys mad at each other? And it's like, no. That is our chemistry, and it's fantastic.
I was at a bachelorette party this weekend up in Sonoma Wine Country. Emma, your writer's assistant, it was her bachelorette. We went wine tasting, rented a big Airbnb, and we came back from the bars after wine tasting, and we DVR'd it on the Airbnb's thing. And so we watched it at like midnight or 12:30, like Friday night.
Oh, it's so
with
cool.
our party.
I had two friends who had bachelorette parties this weekend, both on the staff of Good Talk with Justin Look Offensive. I would see Emma's pictures on Twitter of her just looking totally sober on a wine tasting, like enjoying herself, a very Emma bachelorette party. And then Megan Gailey, one of my writers, was at her own bachelorette party in Chicago and FaceTimed me at 2 a.m. on Saturday. And I do not pick up FaceTime. I'm like, no. But I'm like, I know she's at her bachelorette party. It's 2 a.m. Like, I want to see what's up. And it was just her wasted with a friend, just laughing, like just out of their minds, being like, all of our friends went to bed. And I was like, so you thought you'd call your boss at 2 a.m. and FaceTime? And she's like, it's 2 a.m.? Like what? And she was just so out
Which
of her mind.
Which is 5 a.m. in Chicago, right? Mm-hmm.
She might consider you like her friend, not just, you know, her boss.
We're both. I mean, I was not upset with her. We laughed on the phone call, but I was like, it is ridiculous to call your boss.
Do you consider me? Do you consider you my boss?
No. But I'm.
Yeah,
but
to
I'm
think
a little,
about
but,
it.
But I'm. It's like a seesaw, and I'm a little bit above you. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say I'm your boss, but I mean, your paychecks have my name on them.
That's fair. But the seesaw, it goes back and forth. Like if I throw Emeka and Walker and Ellis, and we're all on that seesaw. Then you're going down.
No,
you're going up.
There's never a time that you are my boss, but I choose to not think of you as an employee.
Emotionally, like I could better kind of cut you off from my family or life, and you know that's a certain sort of power.
No way, because I would just hang out with your brother. Speaking of emotions, I think people who know that I'm a giant Steelers fan and that Greg and Erica are giant Patriots fans will be interested in this. Antonio Brown used to be my favorite player. And a while ago, it looked like he was destroying the team. We were going to get rid of him. And it looked like he was going to go to Buffalo. And I could not have been happier that he would be sent to Buffalo to live out his days. And then he got out of that and went to the Raiders. And I was a little disappointed, but I was like, okay. I can handle Antonio Brown and the Raiders. This weekend, I go to bed. The last thing I see is Antonio Brown's weird YouTube video where he's got like Gruden. Where he's got Gruden talking, and I'm like, he's losing his mind. And I go to sleep.
Video was amazing. He taped his coach and had a great production value.
The production value was insane.
Of all these talking heads talking trash in him, and those were clips from that day. It was amazing. It was from the current news, music's playing, and at the time you thought he had, you know, illegally taped his coach and then is putting him on blast. It was quite a moment.
You want to hear a second of it?
Sure.
Iggy.
Yep.
Antonio, coach is on the line.
Hey, B. Hello.
Yo, what's up, Coach?
What the hell's going on, man?
There's a villain all over the news, man.
Is Antonio all right?
He didn't behave like this before he started getting this money.
There's something wrong with AB.
Antonio Brown has been an absolute embarrassment.
Yeah, that was. I saw that video and I was like, "This is, he's losing his mind." And then I go to bed, I sleep in, I wake up, and then I get a text from my brother that just says, "Antonio Brown, fuck." And I've gotten this text 7 or 8 times in my life with different people that I know, just their name and then the word fuck. And every single time it means they're dead. It means they either overdosed or have committed suicide. I hate getting the text. I see it and I'm just like, oh my God. And then the next text I look at is from Greg Rosenthal saying, can I have all your Antonio Brown jerseys? And I was like, what happened? Did Greg snap? Like, what? And then I read the news and I'm like, oh, he got himself out of his contract and went to the Patriots, which is a worst case scenario. Greg, what's the latest update on Antonio Brown?
Well, Antonio Brown is being accused in a civil court of sexual assault and rape.
Go Steelers! Now it's time for
ad copy.
This week we had to do a quick correction. Last week I read an ad for two of my friends' podcast called Southside Stories, but I messed it up. So Greg's going to do it. Go for it, Greg.
The creators of Comedy Central's new show Southside have teamed up with WBEZ Chicago to bring you the new podcast Southside Stories. If Anthony approves of them, they have to be pretty funny. The writers and stars of Southside, Diallo Riddle and Bashir Salahuddin.
Salahuddin.
Thank you. We'll bring you real stories about real people in the real South Side of Chicago. They'll meet inventors, go step in, grab some Heralds, and maybe even get to the bottom of all those parking tickets. It's a show about the side of Chicago you don't see. So after you're done watching the critically acclaimed show South Side on Comedy Central, check out South Side Stories, the podcast, for a deeper dive. Subscribe now to South Side Stories to find out what life on the South Side is all about.
Yep. Sorry for messing that up. You know, I love Diallo, I love Bashir, and I said it was a Comedy Central podcast, but they don't have the wherewithal. It's WBEZ, produced by Comedy Central. So thank you, WBEZ. And that was
ad copy.
Now it's time for the main event. You would think that, like, having my TV show premiere, Greg going to the roast, Erica going on a bachelorette party would be fun, but no, we've got bigger news. All right. I don't know if we've been supposed to talk about this. I don't know if, like, you can get in trouble.
I didn't even think about that. It's true. It is like a private event, which the NFL gets weird about.
But it was a concert. Like, it was a public concert that only people were invited to. The NFL sponsored a concert for sponsors, for contest winners, for employees. And Greg and I got it hooked up with tickets to go see Jeremy Renner live in concert.
Jay Ren.
Oh, yeah.
He played all 5 of his songs. It was amazing. And Greg and I, you know, Greg and I recommend music all the time. We're hip-hop people. But when someone rocks, like when someone just gets up and rocks, we got to give it up. You know, were we front row? Eventually. You know, we had to kind of push to the front. We brought Erica with us.
Oh, yeah.
Emeka wanted nothing to do with it. But the three of us had the time of our lives, totally sober, just enjoying Jeremy Renner. Like, it was almost like at some points, like when he would spin around a bunch of times, like it was almost like his sweat was getting on you. He was so close. And when he played, oh my God, my favorite song. What is it? I keep wanting to call it Renegade. It's not Renegade. It's
Nomad.
Nomad. When I hear Nomad, not only is it like, is it just a great song? You know, it's a song that'll pump you up. It's a song that, like, gets you through the gym. It's a song that when you hear it live, you feel like you're floating. But also, it's like someone's reading my diary. Like, the lyrics are so profound and so just, like, what I'm all about. Mm. What we're all about, I think, as people and as a podcast.
Yeah, traveling the world and back so many times with nothing on my back but a guitar and a smile. And the thing is, we like hip-hop. We love hip-hop. And you know, female indie rock, and it all feels very modern, but sometimes, like, at some point, good old fashioned rock with messages that we can get behind that we grew up with is going to come back. And I know people have kind of gotten onto the whole Jeremy Renner thing because of those Jeep ads.
I haven't seen those.
Well, they have some ads where he's driving and he's playing his own song. But Anthony and I like aren't Johnny Come Lately Renner fans. When Heaven Don't Have a Name came out back in June, like that was the moment, the chorus, like everything about it. And we've been waiting single after single. Sign, Nomad, Main Attraction. I like some of his covers. His House of the Rising Sun cover is very affecting. Oh, and beautiful. That's the thing about a Renner concert. They're all bangers. It's not like, oh, let's have some filler in the middle. They're all bangers.
His version of House of the Rising Sun is so good that I turned to Greg and I was like, is that a cover? Like, it sounds like the original, like when he's doing it. Like the original didn't exist and Jeremy Renner just brought it into existence. But Heaven Don't Have a Name. I mean, that's just one of those songs where you're like, how was this not written hundreds of years ago?
It's an anthem.
How did they wait until now to come up with, like, Heaven Don't Have a Name? You know what I mean?
Never did.
And that's the thing about, that's why I've always kind of considered myself, like, I don't really believe in God.
Yeah.
Because Heaven Don't Have a Name.
Yeah.
You know, and so when Jeremy Renner puts it to music, it just, maybe there is a God. You know, maybe I would believe in God if heaven had a name. And so maybe Jeremy gets me into heaven or whatever it's called.
Maybe Jeremy Renner is God.
So we're at the concert. We're enjoying it. And again, he only has the five or six songs. He plays Nomad again at the end.
Yeah.
And people go crazy.
You go front to back because you don't think you're getting Nomad the second time.
I know. Ugh. People are getting, like, you can see people putting in their earbuds to listen to Nomad when he was wrapping up because they thought it was done. And then when he plays it live, they just go crazy. I mean, everyone just goes ballistic. And then I'm like, do you think we can get backstage? And Erica, I'll throw you under the bus a little bit here.
Okay.
Lost our backstage passes. Well, I'm like, Greg, you hold the tickets. Erica, you hold the backstage passes. Erica can't find them. I'm like, listen, I'm Anthony Jeselnik. I'm here with Greg Rosenthal, an NFL employee. I'm here with Erica Tamposi, an NFL employee. We can get back there. So we go back, and the security guard is having nothing to do with us. They're just like, no, guys, you don't have the backstage passes. You're not getting in. I'm like, I'm Anthony Jeselnik. I got his show premiering. They're like, listen, we don't care about celebrity stuff. And then I hear, hey, they're cool. I look over the security guard's shoulder. It's Jeremy Renner with a guitar on his back.
And a
like,
smile.
Literally, I mean, with the Renner smile, with the guitar on his back, and he's like, hey, guys, come on in. And I'm like, oh my! I'm like, Mr. Renner. He goes, please call me Jeremy. I'm like, it's so great to meet you. And then I go to shake his hand. I'm like, so nice to meet you. He knocks my hand out of the way, grabs me, Erica, and Greg in a four-person hug, and just whispers, Jeremy B. And he holds it for a second, and I was speechless. I couldn't think of anything. Erica is sweating profusely from the drugs, and Greg whispers back, Nomad. And then you'd think we would stop. You think that would be it. And then I whisper, Heaven Don't Have a Name. And then we just went through the rest of his songs in that hug. And then ended with one more, Jeremy B. And then Let Go. And he just kind of walked away backwards. You know what I mean? Just like looking at us, smiling, pointing at us the whole time, walked away and said, anything you guys, I'm taking off. I'm a nomad. But anything you want in my green room is yours. And it was all guitars. We all just took guitars on our backs and left. It was one of the greatest concert experiences of my life. I don't know if you guys agree.
I do. I'm in tears just thinking about it. It was a beautiful night.
I think it's probably a low serotonin level.
Yeah, I'm
kind causing of upset. Your tears. But thank you, Jeremy. Thank you to the NFL. Mm.
And thank you for the music. You know what I mean? Like, the music is bigger than him.
It's bigger than all of us. So good. If you haven't heard the new Renner album, I don't know how long it's been out, but let me tell you guys, Heaven Do Have a Name. And it's Jeremy Renner's new album. Yes, we did. We're from new Dara Frank, gave us some notes. He, of course, told us that we messed up the Southside Stories ad, asked us if we would do a correction, which I like. I like when they ask you and don't tell you. Jeremy's doing a good job so far.
Frankly, the respect, the mutual respect and cordiality between you and Jeremy is almost a shot across the previous executive's bow.
It's a reaction to once Dara Frank died, I just felt bad about the way that I treated her during her lifetime, and I feel like with Jeremy that I just want to have a different kind of relationship, so that when he eventually passes away, the way that Dara did, that I won't have those regrets. And then he said, "Can we read ads at the 15 and 30 minute mark as opposed to dead last?" And I could have been like, "Hey, Jeremy, we only get ads once a year, so don't be asking us why we haven't
placed
them
the exploding listenership. We thank all the listeners. Our debut episode of this season, our biggest episode yet. So people are jumping on board.
Yeah, people are into it. I think a lot of it is, you know, me doing press and having a TV show.
I got a text from cameraman Stu.
You did?
That said, RIP Stu.
Oh.
So he listened.
I'm sure he did. Of course he did. If you were in this room, you wouldn't listen to the first episode. You weren't in the room.
Yeah.
Like, if you leave the room, we're talking about you, Eric. If you just get up to go to the bathroom, we're talking trash on you.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Of course,
but you don't listen to, you tape, you know, you're the producer of our NFL podcast. If you miss a show, do you listen to those shows? No.
I listened to the Sunday one that I missed. And I listened to the JRVP when I was abroad because I just wanted to see how much, like, you were pumping into Emma without me being
Well, you
there.
Like this show a lot better. And you are jealous of Emma, so.
You wanted to see how much we were pumping into Emma?
Yeah,
is that a phrase?
like how much you were pumping her up? Like you guys were like, "Oh,
but
Erica,
but that's
shit.
Not what you said. You said pumping into Emma.
Well, that's what you wish.
No, she's a child. And now it's time for Erica's corner. Erica Tamposi, as Greg introduced her earlier, is lovely-ish. She's our producer. 27 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
27 years old, a youngin. She's a great producer, a good friend, and we like to let her carve out a little bit of our own podcast to let her do whatever she wants, and it's something we call Erica's Corner. So, Erica, shine on.
All right. So I was going through our listener emails, and if you are new to this season, you can send us emails. And when I mean us, I mean me at JRVP Junior Vice President. So it's JRVP and then Junior Vice President spelled out at gmail.com.
President or presidents?
President.
Okay, just trying to clarify so they get it to you.
Yep, JRVP Junior Vice President.
Like Greg had to clarify,
gmail.com.
Is it the right way or the wrong way?
Yeah. All right, so I read an email and went through some of them, and Drew asks, "I was rewatching Fire in the Maternity Ward, and I got to the could take a human life joke. Is the Debbie in the joke and the Greg's mom Debbie the same Debbie?"
Okay, so this person is asking, it's a joke about me having killed someone and forgotten that I killed them, and remembering Debbie. They're asking if the joke is about remembering killing Greg's mom.
Who's Debbie?
Debbie's just the perfect name for that joke.
Right.
Like, just saying, "Oh, yeah, Debbie," and snapping my fingers at the same time. There's no better name than Debbie. And I tried out a couple, but my instincts are correct. It had nothing to do with Greg's mom, even though I kind of do like that it's a little bit of a shout out to her. You know, she gets her name in there, but I was not thinking of any Debbie in particular when I read the joke. But I find that people get upset if they're like, "Oh, you wrote that joke about me." Like, remember we had that thing in college where, like, you know, "You're talking about that, right?" And I'm like, "No, I just made this up." And they're like, "No, you didn't." They get like, they really get upset. They really want to be an inspiration for my comedy, and no one is.
I get not a lot, but I've definitely gotten tweets of, you know, you'll have a joke about your best friend's wife or something to do with that. It could sound like me, and they're like, "Hey, like they made a joke about your wife." I'm like, he's not making a joke about me.
Yeah, people used to always, I remember when I was in New York,
I think there was one in Shakespeare especially that I can't forget.
When I was in New York, I dated a girl, and people would come up after the show and they'd be like, "Oh, so you're the girlfriend?" And she would get all upset. She'd be like, "Well, I'm the girlfriend? Like, I'm like, what do you mean?" And they're like, "No, they mean like from the jokes. Like I had so many jokes, like my girlfriend." They're like, "Oh, you're the girlfriend." That when she realized that, she was like,
"Although
oh,
the
yeah,
one about burning your room down, that part was kind
my
of
first
true.
Ever stand up set." Yes, that was true. That was her. But then I got away from the truth, and started writing real comedy. People think real comedy comes from bearing your soul and letting people know what's inside you and bearing your faults.
You've circled back to that a little. You know, there's some based on true stories in there.
A little bit, as little as possible. But I like writing jokes. I like killing it with my brain. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond.
Love it. Our headlines this week, based around music, or at least the first story is. 7-Eleven stores in Los Angeles have recently begun to play classical music outside their stores in an effort to chase away homeless people.
Now, what is there's a name for this, right? It's like anti-homeless something. Like when they have anti-homeless architecture. It's like they'll have benches.
Really?
With like, yeah.
Well, basically, it's 7-Elevens, and this is true in the 7-Eleven near me. There's a lot of homeless around the 7-Elevens. They said it's really affected business, and they found one strategy that works is, for whatever reason, to blast 7-Eleven. I mean, classical music round the clock outside. Keeps people away, apparently.
And how do you feel about that?
I mean, more like classical music just being in the air seems like not the worst thing in the world, but it's kind of desperate, you know, and crazy. Like, what would be the worst? Like, well, that doesn't seem like it would be that effective. Like, there would be more effective music.
It seems like if you played like Metallica or something, you know what I mean? The way they torture people at Guantanamo with like certain music.
Like, if they played like Boom Boom Pow by the Black Eyed Peas all day, every day, that would keep the homeless away, I think.
And I think honestly, keep everyone away. I think they play that inside, but outside is all classical. You think classical would be okay? This is weird for me because, when they do things where homeless people can't go to sleep, you know what I mean? Like, you'll see benches with like bars put on them in certain ways so people can't lie down across them, or you'll see like like spots where people would sleep, they'll put up little like bumps of concrete so people can't sleep there. That I think that's cruel.
It also made me think, like, what would be the opposite of this, you know what I mean? What would be the song that would bring in all the homeless people, that like the homeless would hear if they were miles away, they just heard a little bit? And I think I know what the answer is.
Where we at, Polo? Hey! I see you, Ryan.
Oh, you know this. No?
Okay, come on. Right.
I don't remember that song. I mean, I've heard
That's
it.
Usher. That's Usher, Love in the Club. And I think if you play Usher, Love in the Club, maybe it's not just homeless people. I think it's just everyone around the country is just going to be walking into that 7-Eleven.
I don't think we're allowed to play that song on the air.
If it's less than 8 seconds, I think we're fine. Let's hear a different part. Just imagine all of Santa Monica like congregating like at some march or something into that 7-Eleven.
Craig dancing.
Let me tell you something. You could not be more wrong. All right, that's a fine song. Usher's a fine artist. But if, like, listen, okay. The other day I pulled up to a 7-Eleven, all right? I'm going to get some Rolaids, some Tums, some Pepto-Bismol.
Are you okay?
I'm fine now.
Why all these like products that are almost identical?
I do it every day. Just in case. I don't know what I'm going to be in the mood for. But I go and I'm playing. I got the windows down. You know, it's a nice day in LA. I'm playing some Renner. And I pull up to the 7-Eleven. Nomad is like right in the middle, you know, right where it kicks in. And I get out of my car. And it's like, I'm like the Pied Piper of homeless people. Like, they have just been following me down the street. And now this 7-Eleven is surrounded like assault on Precinct 13. Listen, I've never been to a 7-Eleven that didn't have a homeless person outside. Like, they're like greeters at Walmart. And we don't play classical music in Walmarts to get the greeters to leave. No. We play Smash Mouth and Hoobastank and Huey Lewis during his solo career in all our Walmarts, so that the greeters, who are basically homeless themselves, can enjoy their wonderful lives. I say let the homeless rock. They're nomads.
In Ohio, mother.
Nope. What? And now it's time for
Ad Copy.
This is my we got two ads this week. This one, I'm going to read. This is the creators of Comedy Central's new TV show, I'm looking at the wrong one completely. We're going to leave that in for sure. Give them a little extra credit. And we're at 34 minutes, Jeremy. So you better be happy with what I've done for you. This one is for a good one, a podcast about jokes, a podcast I have done. Have you ever heard a joke and wondered what's the story behind this? Then Good One, a podcast about jokes, is the podcast for you. Each episode, a comedian comes on to play one of their jokes and then discuss how and why they wrote it with Vulture editor Jesse David Fox. And this guy is a comedy nerd. I did an episode of this show live during Clusterfest, and I had forgotten I had to do it. And then I had to go to, toward the end of the evening, and I'm pretty blasted. not like as drunk as I've gotten on this podcast, but I am. I'm a little loose, and I go a little Kanye on him. But
I was walking with you around the facility, trying to find it, and increasingly getting worried that we couldn't find it until we found an usher that led you the way.
Yeah, I went up to the usher and I was like, "Where is it?" And they're like, they pointed, and I was like, "I'm on the show." And they're like, "I'll take you." But it was a good time, and we really got into one of my like a longer bit. And he's got the Lonely Island, Whitney Cummings, Nate Bargatze, James Corden, James Adomian, Emily Heller, Danny McBride, and they just wrapped the sixth season with a finale featuring Gilbert Gottfried talking about The Aristocrats, one of his most famous jokes. So subscribe and listen to A Good One, a podcast about jokes, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. And that was
Ad Copy.
Our second headline today comes from the great state of Ohio, where a woman shot her 18-year-old daughter in her home after the daughter came back from college to surprise her. The daughter ended up, the firing broke her elbow, created massive bleeding. She is okay, but she came home around 9 p.m., was surprising her mom. Her boyfriend was with her, and she ran into her mom's room and got taken out by some shot.
This is what makes me laugh, all right? The mom is in bed. She's like, "I'm an empty nester now. It's just me. I've got a gun next to the bed for protection." She hears someone coming in the house. She's like, "What's going on?" She gets the gun. She doesn't get out of her bed. She's just laying in bed holding the gun.
38 like, special handgun.
And then the door opens and someone comes running at you full sprint. Just imagine being in bed and a full sprint dash in the dark. And then you just light them up. I mean, she only fired one shot. She hit her target and then I assume felt bad. But the idea of your 18-year-old daughter coming home from school to surprise your mom that you love so much and then getting shot. Like, don't run in the room. Maybe knock on the door.
You're blaming the daughter?
Yes.
Maybe don't just shoot at everyone that's like running into your bedroom.
How do you
running full speed?
You're like, it's either your daughter or one of the other 7 billion people in the world. Like, what are the chances? You're not expecting her to come home. It's not like the daughter was like, "Hey, I'm coming home on Friday." Got home an hour early and got shot. It was out of nowhere. She had no idea who this person was, and they came running in the room in the dark. You can't do it. If I ran into my own bedroom in the dark and got shot, I'd be like, "I had it coming." You can't do it.
So if like that happens at my house, I should have a gun on me at all times and just start firing.
You know how I feel about guns, but if you are at home by yourself, let's say Emeka takes the kids to Japan and you're like, they're gone for 6 months, like they go and leave you alone. And you hear someone in your house, the last person you're expecting is Emeka or Walker or Ellis. So if you took them all out, you know, if you're sitting there being like, "Is someone in my house?" And then the door opens and three people come running at you and you shoot them all. Like,
why even limit this to just homes? How about just bring your guns to work and you're in your office? And if someone doesn't have a meeting and they come storming in, just shoot them in the elbow.
That's totally different. If you're in your own bed, and listen, I'm against guns. I don't like them. They make me uncomfortable. But if you're in your own bed and so you hear someone in your house, it's okay to take your gun and point it at the door.
It's like if someone opens
the door, maybe be like, "Hey, I've got a gun." But if they come running in the door, running in full sprint, like they just got announced in the WWE Royal Rumble, you take your shot. You fire. You're a nomad.
All right, big news this week in cinema. Announcement: Paramount Pictures is remaking Face Off. And when I saw this, my first thought is just, what does Anthony Jeselnik think?
Listen, this is where I get to shine, because both, Erica has an excuse because she's very young. I understand you haven't seen Face Off, the classic John Woo movie.
She's never
with
even
John
heard
Travolta
of it.
And Nicolas Cage. Greg, I can't believe. I mean, I'm not totally shocked you haven't seen it. I remember seeing it the summer after I graduated high school. I remember it very well because it was the first time. Actually, I'm not even gonna get it.
No, please.
My mom listens to this. Let's say I had a girlfriend at the time, a high school sweetheart, and it was a special day for us. And then we went and saw Face Off.
That's fair.
So I was extra happy watching that movie. And it is the best. It's Travolta and Nicolas Cage chewing scenery so hard. It's unbelievable. They actually switch faces and then do impressions of each other for the remainder of the movie. And it is the best. Like, I don't know why you would remake this ever. People are like, who would you cast now? Shut your mouth and go watch the original again so I can have sex with the girl from high school. And now it's time for
Choo-choo
Recommendation Station. We've already recommended so much already. You know, between Good Talk, between Renner, between Face Off. Greg, what do you got for us?
I was thinking of telling people to go read The Goldfinch instead of seeing what sounds like a terrible movie.
Yeah.
But apparently I went back and checked our list, which maybe I'll post on Twitter. One of our listeners put all our recommendation stations. And I already recommended that back in season one.
You did, not me.
I was going to say go all of Donna Tartt's book because The Secret History is great too. But I recommended that in season one. So I'm going to go with two books, but really one book, How to Get Filthy Rich in Rising Asia by Mohsin Hamid. And I would also read his book Exit West. Those are the last two books of his. They're kind of similar. If you like one, you'll like the other. But I like How to Get Filthy Rich in Rising Asia a little better.
Fiction, nonfiction?
It is fiction. And he's a Pakistani writer. It's set kind of nowhere, but seems kind of like Pakistan. And it's written as if it was a self-help book, but it's fiction. And it's a story basically of rising from nothing to, you know, great wealth in the Muslim world right now. And just how the world's changing. And it's a very affecting love story, but it's also trying to be very symbolic about like the crazy upheaval and poverty and capitalism coming into that part of the world. And it's awesome. And so is Exit West, which is a little bit more about what it's like right now to be a refugee all around the world with some sci-fi elements. And there's a lot going on. Like, that was named one of the five best books by the New York Times a couple years ago. I recommended it to one of my friends who says it's his favorite book he's read in a long time. Both books are just awesome.
Exit West. And what's the name of the author?
How to Get Filthy Rich in Rising Asia is the other one I like a lot. Mohsin Hamid. And I like reading stuff that like gives you an entree into a world that you know nothing about, but it's like really smart and interesting and quick. They're quick, fun reads.
I just like entrees. Right, guys? When you go to dinner?
Boston Market.
I've got a book myself. I've got a nonfiction book came out a couple months ago called The Last Leonardo by Ben Lewis. It's about a guy who found people, you know, will go through old art houses and look for old masterpieces that may have gotten lost along the way. And this guy found what he believed to be a lost Leonardo da Vinci. And it's all the things they had to do to kind of to bring it back to its original form, and all the people who doubted it and people who thought it was true. What it sold for more than any other painting has sold for in history.
What?
Yeah,
it's so sold for
like
story.
It sold hundreds of millions of dollars to like a Saudi family, and then it's disappeared. Like it's never been seen since they bought it. And it's an amazing book. It just makes you realize just how insane the art world is, and how crazy
Gold
it is.
Finchian.
That yeah, a little bit, yeah. That I felt like I learned a lot, and it's a great read, and just very interesting. How about you, Erica? Do you have anything you'd like to recommend?
I'm really into The Righteous Gemstones right now on HBO. It's a Danny McBride, Walton Goggins is in it. It's Adam Devine. It is a...
How are you going to leave out John Goodman?
Because I'm kind of over him.
What?
It's John Goodman.
I don't know. But his... Okay, well, my feelings,
I mean,
for him aside.
Messages
but,
like that is why you're starting to get some negative, you know, feedback on Twitter not to allow Erica to recommend things anymore, which I think is blasphemous, frankly.
Thank you. But if you check out The Righteous Gemstones, you will really, really enjoy it. I think it's a really cool twist on comedy that has more of the sort of satire undertones that I am really, really enjoying.
Cool. Well, I have not seen it yet. I love
Disney. There's only four episodes out.
But it already got picked up for season two.
It's worth it.
Yeah,
it's worth
it. I'm sure it'll be great. That was
Choo Choo
Recommendation Station. And now Erica.
See ya, Jezzle, next time.
Nope.
Why?
Do it again. Erica.
I mean, didn't have much feel to it.
Oh, you want me to just say that again?
I want the old one.
Oh, okay. Well, we didn't. It's news to me.
Well, breaking news, Erica. And now it's time for...
Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball.
With Nomads.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.